This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin Edition for Week 2. Bucks at Saints. Brandon Legal Group, the brainchild of the Bucks Bulletin years ago, is the presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin. They thought it would be fun to do a quick fantasy preview each week of the Bucks and their particular opponent. And who was I to say no? We've been doing it for four seasons now. As far as I know, no one else provides you this particular podcast with an exclusive fantasy look at each week involving just the Bucks and their opponent. Brandon Legal Group would also like you to know that they are there for you from a legal standpoint when you have any particular need, as they are a full-service law firm. Full-service means family law. Full-service means post-judgment. Full-service means child support adjustment. Full-service means divorce. If you have a legal need that doesn't necessarily fall into one of those four categories, remember, full-service is all-encompassing. Call for a free consult, 844-4BLG-4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. They service the greater Tampa Bay area and are huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments and have been for many years. Email for fantasy questions is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Recording this on Thursday late morning, so there's admittedly a lot of guesswork right now as it relates to injuries and how it will impact who the Bucks have active, who's on a pitch count, who can go in full to start the game at least before anything else happens against the Saints. And the Saints have a couple of concerns as well. So I'll do the best I can, but please keep checking status if this involves your individual players as it relates to your season-long leagues. And of course, when you're playing daily, just click on the player to see what the updated injury report is on that particular player. We'll do the Bucks first. As we speak, key fantasy players on the Bucks that are on the injury report: Fournette, Evans, Godwin, Gage, Jones. That's pretty much everybody. Tom Brady's not there, so that's good. If you are an investor in Tom Brady as your QB1 and you want, you know, more than one touchdown pass in your Week 2 game this week, as the Bucs struggled in the red zone, dominating the game against the Cowboys, yet the Cowboys were, as I like to say, one play away from being one play away. Those plays never happened, but they did let the Cowboys hang around for no reason in a very one-sided performance. So, Fournette, you play him if he's active and you have enough to go on that he's not on a pitch count. Fournette picked up where he left off end of 2021 with the run, power run downhill performance against the Dallas Cowboys. My guess is that Fournette may have some limitations and the Bucks would like to get a little bit more out of their other running backs on the roster. For you Keyshawn Vaughn apologists, yeah, there's your week one. For those of you who said, oh no, the Rashad White pick doesn't change anything about Keyshawn Vaughn, wrong. But as it relates to Fournette, the only fantasy relevant running back in this situation. Now, Fournette is declared inactive. You could consider playing Rashad White, I'd say only as a flex play, not as an RB1 or an RB2. It's just too much guesswork. I'm sure you have other people on your roster, or there are others you can pick up on waivers who have a little bit more data to go on than White going into just his second game. So that's how I view the Bucs running backs. From a wide receiver standpoint, I think Evans is the safest play as your wide receiver one, or if you're lucky, as your wide receiver two. Certainly feels like, at the time I'm recording this, of all of them, he's the one most likely to go and be with the least amount of limitations. Godwin, keep checking status. It doesn't feel like he'll play for this one, but keep checking status. If he's active, you're going to use him. If he's not, make sure you get him out of your lineup. As far as Gage and Jones, and I'm only going to talk about at full health here. Jones was certainly more of a factor against the Cowboys. You just worry, granted, everyone else around him seems to be hurt as well. If we're going to go through this on a weekly basis with Jones, this is what the Titans went through. This is what the Falcons also dealt with, at least the back half of the 2020 season. So it might be one of those with Jones. You get him when you can because his body might not hold up because it hasn't the last 2 years. And as far as Gage, yeah, if Godwin is inactive, you would think Gage would be more involved in the offense, especially if Fournette is limited and cannot carry the workload he did against the Cowboys. So that's my best guess as it relates to all the Buck fantasy relevant players, which is it's tough to do this early in the week. You know, some of this is just going to come down to 90 minutes before kickoff, unless there's news otherwise. As it relates to the status of those players. And for what it's worth, only two kickers produced more points in my 21st century standard scoring settings where kickers only earn 3 points per field goal. There are no 4 or 5 point field goals in my league. Just like in actual football, a field goal is worth three. As you know, I add a penalty if kicks are missed inside of 39. There are no penalties for missing kicks 40 and out relative to previous standard scoring where you would get more points for those field goals. Now you don't lose anything, but you only get three. So in my scoring settings, only two kickers had more than suck up. I know Bucks fans would actually like to see less field goal attempts from suck up going forward if the Bucks can improve the red zone play. But Suckup was a good fantasy kicker in week one and might be again, especially in a controlled weather environment in New Orleans in week two. From the Saints standpoint, where are we looking here? Okay, Winston battling a back injury, he's gonna go. He's going to play through it. It takes a lot to get Winston off the field. Now, they will pull him off the field in some wildcat situations to use Taysom Hill, which is also why Jameis Winston isn't much of a fantasy quarterback at this point, because in some red zone situations, he may not be in the game, and they'll use Taysom Hill instead, which is also bad news for Alvin Kamara, who you know I've been down on this year, based on the numbers last year, based on second year without Drew Brees, first year without Sean Payton, and Kamara in my 21st century standard scoring settings last week was RB47. Now, we hear about a rib injury, but there's a lot of other reasons to worry if you spent a first-round pick on Alvin Kamara. If he is healthy, yeah, you're playing him, but at this point, I would start exploring if you can sell high and get some return value on what Kamara was rather than what he might be right now. That's just my advice to you. If you're saying, well, week one, a little early to make a trade. Well, in the podcast league, I just did the punch because I have to approve trades. 8-player deal between two former champions, both who have received $1,000 checks from Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford. Basically, and I know at least one, or if not both of these owners listen to the podcast, the deal was interesting to me because it involved a lot. It involved some waiver grabs. So there were waiver guys. The deal to me was essentially Mixon for Connor. And Mixon was drafted. Hold on. I'm looking at the foundation draft board. Mixon was drafted with the 11th overall pick, and Connor was drafted with the, I got to do the math here, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, no, I'm sorry, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. So the deal pretty much to me was Mixon for Connor. And I think both running backs have value. These are two good fantasy owners and former champions. I find it interesting that both are moving off early running back draft picks so quickly. Granted, Connor did not have a productive week one. No one with Arizona did, other than a wide receiver most of us had never heard of until he popped up as the leading pass catcher for the Cardinals in that game in terms of receptions. But Mixon had a decent game, so just surprised. But 8-player deal, the signature ones were Mixon and Connor. All right, so Taysom Hill was in that deal, by the way. So I sense that this week on waivers in some of your leagues, and I even got an email, I believe it was from Al. Thank you for listening, Al, about Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill, I know in Yahoo, is listed as a quarterback and a tight end. So, yes, you can get creative here, and you can play Taysom Hill at your tight end, or in my league settings, the wide receiver tight end flex, and he's taking snaps. But the problem is, unless Winston goes down, Taysom Hill is not going to be the full-time quarterback of the Saints. So you're, in essence, not only being touchdown dependent with Taysom Hill, but you're limiting yourself to how much he's going to touch the ball, where, you know, the other top six-ish, and I wouldn't go off of Dalton Schultz yet. Cooper Rush is going to throw to Dalton Schultz. Those are easier throws for him to make. And Schultz is better at getting open than some of these other Cowboy wide receivers. Hill, playing Hill, even with that flexibility, he's going to take some quarterback snaps. It's a risk. It's very touchdown dependent. Yeah, sure. If you had played him in week one, you get double digit points. I think it would have been about 13 or so. And yeah, I would expect him to take some wildcat snaps in the red zone. But I just don't know that you want to limit yourself to how little Taysom Hill is going to touch the ball. Even though, yeah, he could be a top option inside the five. So he's a reason you can't look at Jameis Winston as a starting fantasy quarterback. And despite being able to play a guy at tight end who's going to take snaps at quarterback and who has good legs, defenses know when Hill is in there. They know what's coming. And it only works so much. Very talented guy. But don't go overboard and get too creative at this point with Taysom Hill. So we talked about Kamara. Let's talk about the wide receivers for the Saints. First of all, Alave, if you drafted him. You didn't play him week one. You really have no reason to play him week two because of what Jarvis Landry, who caught a ton of balls and went for, I think, 100-plus yards. Michael Thomas had the two touchdowns. So both Michael Thomas and Michael Thomas had nothing at the half. It was all a second-half performance with Thomas connecting with Winston as the Saints rallied to win that game. So I would imagine Landry was picked up on some waivers this week. I'm not sure if you're immediately pulling out your wide receiver two or your wide receiver three to put Landry in there against the Bucks. Granted, the Saints have some pass catchers. The Cowboys did not. And you wonder how long Prescott was playing with a hand that couldn't feel or grip the ball, in addition to Dak just being really off and rattled throughout that game. But I'm not jumping to push Jarvis Landry into the lineup. Same with Michael Thomas. I mean, it's two touchdowns and one half of football. To say that he's back, we're not there yet. So there are considerations if you need a flex play or a wide receiver three, but I don't think you're pulling out a wide receiver one or two to get Thomas or Landry into your lineup this week. And Will Lutz is back after missing all of last year, and he's a good kicker, especially at home. So, yeah, I'd say he has roughly the same value as Ryan Succop. I mean, kickers basically are, it's either kind of yes or no with kicker plays, and both of them are yeses right now. Again, Succop was number three in my scoring settings last week. Lutz a little further down, but still a little above average for week one kickers. There you go. Any other questions? Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm.